Teach me, Lord, to wait right down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my pleas.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in to Listen to Your Bible. This program is brought to you by the Wildercroft Church of Christ in Riverdale, Maryland. Our purpose is to call Bible things by Bible names, do Bible things Bible ways, speak where the Bible speaks, and remain silent where the Bible is silent. If you have a Bible question, then call us now at area code 202-432-1340, or you can text your question to area code 301-861-3932, and we will provide you with a Bible answer. If you call, then we would love to offer you a free Bible correspondence course just for listening. So at this time, get your Bible and listen attentively as your Bible questions receive Bible answers.
Good evening, Washington and Maryland. We thank you so much for tuning into our program tonight. Our lines are now open for your calls. You set the theme. You pick the topic, but it's God who has all of the answers regarding our religious faith and practice. For Bible questions or religious comments, call 202-432-1340. If you're interested in our free Bible correspondence course, call the same number, 202-432-1340. You can also call our text number, 301-861-3932. If you'd like to speak live on the air, simply call the station, give us your name so that we can address you properly, and then turn down your radio so there won't be any feedback noise. We're going to start off our program tonight with some questions that were previously texted into us. Clifford?
Again, if you'd like to call to 202-432-1340. And if you'd like a free Bible correspondence course, you can call that same number, 202-432-1340. And if you would like to text your question, you can text it to 301-861-3932. Again, our text number is 301-861-3932. And we have a question. The question is, in reference to Israel, will they all be saved? Thank you very much for this question. I think a lot of people did misunderstand this reference, and this reference is actually found in Romans 11, verse 26. So listen to your Bible in Romans 11, verse 26. And there Paul says, "And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." So is this really talking about Israel as in the nation of Israel? Well, one of the things that we need to understand is actually the context of the passage. Now, there's a lot of things going on in Romans 11 itself. So Romans chapter 11, a lot of things that we're not going to be able to cover during this session. But just so we can answer this question, I'm going to try to be as concise as possible and also give some sort of synopsis of what the passage is really talking about. So in the beginning of the chapter, Romans chapter 11, Paul begins to talk about how God has not cast away his people, referring to Israel, so the nation of Israel. And then he uses Elijah as an example of reference to 1 Kings 19, actually, where in the days of Elijah, many were judged, but there was still a remnant of those who had not bowed their knees to Baal. So he uses that reference to also make the connection to the fact that there is a remnant today according to the election of grace. Now, this is speaking of those who would have chosen Christ, of those who have chosen to believe in Christ, and that is that remnant that he's referring to, and he's making the point that God has not cast away his people, that there are those, even among the Jews, that would have chosen Christ. Now, he goes on to talk about how the Jews would have rejected Christ, and then down in verse 13, it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, so listen to your Bible in Romans chapter 11, verse 13, Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them." Now you can clearly see how Paul is talking about how he would through his ministry, he would hope to also save some of the Jews. Through his ministry to the Gentiles, through his preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles, he would want to provoke the Jews to jealousy so that they may want to have a pure and undefiled relationship with Christ, with God. And he says that he hopes to save some of them. Now, he's not hoping to be able to save all of them. I'm sure that he would love to save all of them. But you can clearly see that Paul only speaks of some. And then we also see in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Now, if Paul was certain that all Israel was going to be saved, then there would have been no need for him to make this statement in Romans chapter 10, where it says, "My heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." There would have been no need for that if he had been certain that this was going to happen. No. So when you get down to Romans 11, verse 26, what is he talking about when he says Israel? Well, in order for us to understand that, you might want to go ahead and turn to Romans 2, verse 28 to 29. Again, listen to your Bible in Romans 2, verse 28. What does Paul say there? He says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from man, but from God." So we see Paul again making a reference to what we would call a spiritual Jew. This Jew is not one outwardly, but one inwardly. That Jew is referring to someone that is following God, someone that is following Christ. So when you go back to Romans 11, verse 26, this Israel that Paul is talking about is referencing the faithful of God, the people of God, all those who have been faithful to God, including the members of the church in its entirety. Those are the true Israel, the true nation of Israel. This is the spiritual Israel and not the physical Israel that Paul is talking about. And all those found in Christ will be saved. And all those prior to the church as well that would have been faithful to Christ, that would have been faithful to God, will also be saved. So that's what Paul is referring to here. The entirety of the faithful of God. This is the true Israel. Now notice again in Romans 2, verse 28 to 29, how he said in basically in verse 29 that he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is not that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from man, but from God. What is that circumcision? And you can see that he's making a play on word here, because for a physical Jew, they had to be circumcised. And if a stranger needed to be part of that, of the Jewish nation, they also had to be circumcised. And now he speaks of the inward Jew, the one that is a Jew inwardly, and he speaks of the fact that there is this circumcision of the heart. So what is this circumcision of the heart? Well, listen to your Bible in Colossians 2, beginning in verse 11, so we can understand what this circumcision is all about. So Colossians 2, verse 11 says, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him to faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." So basically, the circumcision is baptism. So if you wish to be part of the body, well, you need to be baptized. If you wish to be part of this Israel that God will save, this spiritual Israel, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You need to believe this gospel that we are preaching to you on this radio program. You need to believe in Christ, and you need to repent of your sins and be baptized, as we see in Acts 2 verse 38, for the remission of your sins. So I hope this answered the question. Kenny?
For a free Bible correspondence course, or to submit your Bible question and have it answered right now, call the number 202-432-1340. If you prefer to text your question, text the number 301-861-3932. And I have a question here that was submitted, and it says, "Can we resist sin, even if it deals with sex?" And the number of the caller, the last four, is 9407. And I'd like to say thank you for that question. To begin to ask the question, listen to your Bible in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. That is 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1 and 2. And it reads, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the world. That propitiation word means the saving atonement. He is a saving atonement for our sins, meaning he died for our sins. So if a man is caught in his sins, we have an advocate with the Father, and that is that Jesus is the atoning grace for our sins. Listen to your Bible also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." By these two scriptures, we see that we have a way to resist sin and escape sin if we are in sin. We have a great example in our Bible. That Bible provides us example of Joseph in Genesis chapter 39, a man who resists sin and sexual advances. The answer to the question, of course, is yes. Yes, we can resist sin, and yes, even if it deals with sex, we can resist it. And that is a great question, and again, thank you for your question. Dan?
Our number again for Bible questions or religious comments, 202-432-1340. If you're interested in a free Bible correspondence course, you know, there's some people who say you can't understand the Bible, but that's not what the Bible says. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, he says, "When you read, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Paul also said in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. And so when we read and study, we can understand these things. And this Bible correspondence course will allow you to have a systematic system of studying your Bible. So if you're interested in a free Bible correspondence course, call that number, 202-432-1340. Our text number is 301-861-3932. We had a question that was texted in by Judy. Judy, thank you so much for listening to the program. We certainly appreciate your question as well as your interest in spiritual matters. Judy asked an excellent question. She said, "Would you explain the words, quote unquote, delivered over to Satan as spoken by Paul of certain men in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5 and 1 Timothy 1 and verse 20? Well, to answer this question, let's first turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. He says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he has done this deed, and that this deed may be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed." Now look in verse 4 what Paul tells them to do. He says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ," here's the message, "deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." And so we have here a man who has clearly sinned. He has his father's wife and evidently won't repent of this. And so Paul says that when the Corinthians are gathered together, that they should, quote unquote, deliver this man to Satan. Now, what does that expression mean, to deliver one to Satan? Well, our answer is made clear when we turn in our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 14. Again, at 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 14, listen to your Bibles. Paul says here regarding another one who has sinned. He says, "And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed." And so what does Paul tell the brethren to do here if someone repeatedly refuses to obey the word and also refuses to repent? He says, "Note that person and do not keep company with him." And so what does it mean to deliver someone to Satan? It means to note those who do not obey the word of God. You are to note them. You are to identify them. You are to name them so that everyone is aware of what they've done, that the brethren might withdraw from them until they repent. Now, another question is, well, where are we to do this? Well, Paul said, he says, do it in the assembly. Do it in the church when they are all gathered together. That's 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4. So Paul essentially teaches the same idea when we turn over to Romans 16 and verse 17. Turn with me there. Romans 16 and verse 17. Listen to your Bibles here. Paul says, he says, now I urge you, brethren, note those. You see, he's using the same language. Note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. And so Paul says again, identify them clearly, avoid them, withdraw from them to get them to think about their actions so that they will repent. And this is actually what Paul does in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 19, which our caller also noted, the other passage that they noted. Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, he says, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so Paul does what here? He delivers these two men to Satan. He notes them. He actually names them. How would you like to be named in Scripture as someone who sinned? Well, these two men have the dishonor of that, Hymenaeus and Alexander. Now, why is it called delivering one unto Satan? Well, there are essentially two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of Satan. And what you're essentially doing is leaving the erring one to the company of Satan, who they are following, unrelieved by the brethren until he repents. And so, Judy, that was an excellent question, and I hope that that answers your question. Michael?
Again, if you'd like to call in with a question, you can call in right now and ask it live on the air, and we'll give you a Bible answer for that question if you call 202-432-1340. If you'd like to text your question, you can call 301-861-3932. We have a question that was submitted by Damon, and the question is, what is the faith that was once delivered? Okay, thank you very much for that question, Damon. I believe he's referring to Jude chapter 1. That's Jude chapter 1, verse 3. If you would, please listen to your Bible. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. And so we see that phrase, the faith which was once handed down to the saints. Well, let's take a look at Romans chapter 10. That's Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Let's find out what this faith is. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, listen to your Bible. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so as you can see here, the faith that we get comes from hearing the word of Christ, hearing the gospel, hearing the word. And so we see the faith which was once handed down to the saints is the word of God. And of course, that's where our faith comes from, is hearing that word. Thank you so much for this question. Clifford?
Again, if you would like to call in with your Bible question, call 202-432-1340. Again, the number for a Bible question and free Bible correspondence course is 202-432-1340. And if you'd like to text your question, you can text it to 301-861-3932. Again, our text number is 301-861-3932. And we have another question, and the question is, what is the strong delusion referred to in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11? Again, the passage that is referenced here is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, and I think whomever asked this question, because it's an excellent question. And so in an effort to answer that question, we'll go ahead to 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning of verse 5, so we can get a better context of what is going on in that passage. So again, listen to your Bible in 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 5, and then it says, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that it may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So looking at this passage, we see a situation that is being described where there are people here who are basically enjoying this life of unrighteousness. Those that are sinning, those who are fully in sin, and they continue to sin, and they continue to also influence others in that. And he speaks about how basically Satan will come and it will influence them in that same path, that it will come with all powers and lying wonders to deceive those people who already enjoy being in sin. And there in verse 11, it says that God will send them strong delusion. Now, this isn't talking about that God will somehow take over their minds, that God will somehow control them and deprive them of all free will, but that their situation and their circumstances will be reinforced, that their predisposition will be used against them. This isn't talking about God robbing people of their free will, but that since they already enjoy being in sin, their situation, their circumstances will be reinforced to the point that they will stay in that lie and not come to the knowledge of salvation. And that's what he says in verse 12, that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we know that God desires for all to repent. So I hope this answered the question. Kenny?
For a free Bible correspondence course or to submit your Bible question, call the number 202-432-1340. If you prefer to text your question, call the number 301-861-3932. And I have a question that was submitted here by Sheldon, and it asks, are we still subject to the Ten Commandments? Well, Sheldon, thank you very much for that question. Listen to your Bible in Romans chapter number 7, verses number 1 through 4. That is Romans 7, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, or do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she remarries another man, she is not an adulteress. Verse number 4. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit to God. See, in this passage, Paul uses an example of a wife who has two men in her life, one her husband and one somebody outside, to use this to understand, to make an analogy of the commandments, the old law and the new law. He says that you have to, you're subject to the husband as long as the husband is alive. But if the husband is to die, you're free from it. So this is exactly what he's saying about the old law and the new law. So when the old law died, you are no longer subject to it. And that's exactly what Paul is saying in this passage. So when Christ came, you are now subject to Christ. In this last verse, he's saying that you are dead to the law through the body of Christ. So we're not no longer subject to the old law because we are subject now to Christ. Listen also to your Bible in Ephesians chapter 2. Verses number 14 through 16. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, and also clarifies it too. It says, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Other references are Colossians 2:14, and another excellent one that's long to read is Hebrews 8:6 through 13. So we are no longer subject to the Ten Commandments. We are subject to the law of Christ, and that is the reason why he died for us. Thank you so much again, Sheldon, for that question. Mike?
We have another question that was submitted. And the question is, can you please explain Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, and is there an application to the 21st century? Thank you very much for that question. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Essentially, with this one scripture, you see a snapshot of the organization of today's church, the church in the first century as well as the church in the 21st century, the true church. There's the organization. We have the saints in Christ Jesus. The saints make up the church, and we've got Christ Jesus, who is the head of the body, which is the church, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And then we see overseers and deacons, and we read about those requirements for those particular positions in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and a parallel passage for the qualifications of elders in Titus chapter 1, 5 through 9. And so we see, again, this is the way the church is organized through Scripture, through the authorization that we have in Scripture. There are no cardinals, no additional types of positions. This is the organization of the church today. I believe we're almost out of time.
Yes, I think we are, Michael. Thank you so much. We thank you so much for your questions. We thank you for listening tonight and sharing in our program. Just a reminder, beginning August the 2nd, coming up next month, we're going to start our hour-long program on Saturdays, the same station, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. We will still be on Friday nights from 7 o'clock to 7:30. Remember, on this program, you set the theme, you pick the topic, but it's God who has all the answers regarding our religious faith and practice. Thank you so much. God bless you, and have a wonderful evening. And remember to listen to your Bibles.
In the dark of the midnight, I have halted my face, while the storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast on today. If you would like a free Bible correspondence course, then please call area code 301-345-1240 anytime, and a course will be mailed to your home. The Wildercroft Church of Christ invites you to come worship with us every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:30 a.m. for morning worship, 6 p.m. for evening worship, and every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. for midweek Bible study. We are located at 6330 Auburn Avenue, Riverdale, Maryland 20737. If you had a Bible question today and could not get through during the broadcast, then you can ask your question on our website, Facebook page, and or Twitter page. Log on to our website at www.wildercroftcoc.org. Like us on Facebook at WildercroftCoc. Also follow us on Twitter at WildercroftCoc. Or you can ask your Bible question on Twitter using the hashtag LTYB. That stands for Listen to Your Bible, hashtag LTYB. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 teaches us to let God be true and every man a liar. So remember, the Bible is God's word. The Bible is right. Until next time, we encourage you to listen to your Bible.